Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, very familiar passage. It'll be easy to find. Why don't we stand and honor God's word as I read it tonight? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he beareth, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in persecutions, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I'd sure like to be a blessing to your people tonight, but the only way I could do that would be that you'd bless and use me. I confess I'm totally dependent on you. And Lord, I pray that you would anoint my mind that I could think right, my lips that I could speak right, and most of all, my heart that I would be right. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. It would be superfluous for me to ask if you have ever had anything that hinders you from doing things that you desire to do or that you really need to do. Paul had many hindrances to his ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he mentions them. For instance, he was scourged 5 times. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned. And he had all kinds of problems. And in addition to all of those problems and so forth, the care of all the churches. But in chapter 12, we find the words that he was given a thorn in the flesh. Notice that word given. He was given a thorn in the flesh. It didn't just happen. It was given. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, Peter reminds us of what we are. He tells us that we are a chosen generation. He says that we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. And then he said, a peculiar people. You say, yeah, Baptists are pretty peculiar, amen? But it doesn't mean strange or odd. Now, the word peculiar there has two words. The Greek is two words. And it means to be encircled. And if you would put a dot on a piece of paper and then put a circle around that, that would be the meaning of that. The dot there is me, or you, and the circle is God. Now, what that means is that nothing can get to me except it come from God or through God. Now, we know that the devil is a roaring lion, but aren't we grateful that he is a lion on a leash? I mean, before he could do anything to Job, he had to get permission from God. And I can hear him saying, and he does have access to heaven, okay? And I can hear him say, hey, what about this Apostle Paul down there? And God said, okay, what about him? I'd like to do something that would hinder him from the work that he's doing. God said, okay, go ahead. In other words, he had to get permission to give Paul that thorn in the flesh. It was a gift. A gift. He realized that it was given by God and that it had a purpose. Paul was a great man of God. His accomplishments would fill a large book. So with that in mind, let's just think about two or three simple things, okay? Think of the reasons that Paul had to be self-reliant. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereupon he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is the law, blameless. That's a pretty good resume, amen? And he thought, these are reasons that Paul could have been self-reliant. His family, of the tribe of Benjamin, where the first king came from, Saul. His religion, a Pharisee. I mean, the very strictest of the Jewish people. His zeal for God, as he thought he was doing right. He saw all of these people and they heard about Jesus Christ. And he was determined, I'm going to wipe it out. And he did everything that he could until one day on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus face to face. And when he did, everything changed. And thank God, when we meet him, everything changes. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. But in the passage we've read tonight, what Paul is speaking about is a revelation, a vision. And he says, about 14 years ago, and can you imagine? He had this vision 14 years ago. This is the first time he said anything about it. Now, if we had had a vision, if we'd had a revelation like he did, we'd have written a book and we'd have been on every radio station and we'd tell everybody in the world, man, you can't believe what I saw. You can't believe what I heard. And he'd try to tell it. Not that, but that wasn't Paul. For 14 years, he didn't say anything. Probably, it was outside the city of Derby when they stoned him. And they left him for dead. Maybe he was dead, I'm not. Paul didn't know, and neither do we, amen? Now, personally, I think he was dead. You say, well, I don't believe he was dead. I believe he was just Adam. You have a right to be wrong, okay? I really think Paul was dead, and he resurrected. And he went right back into the city and began to preach and teach. And said that 14 years ago. And lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. What was the purpose of that? Why would God allow, or why would God give him a thorn in the flesh? And I believe there were several reasons for that. Number one, it was to present or to protect him from being proud. Proverbs 16:18 says this, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a great fall. Many of us might think of many reasons why we're entitled to things, okay? And Paul reminds us that lest we be exalted above the measure, there was given to him a thorn in the flesh. You say, what was the thorn in the flesh? I don't have any idea. And there's no need to argue about it. I used to in some of my classes, I'd say, now, I want everybody here to just think about it and think what the thorn in the flesh was. And of course, some eye trouble, you know, illness, very crippleness, whatever. Maybe his wife, you know. students can come up with all kind of answers. Okay. But the bottom line is, we don't know what the thorn was. So anything that might be hindering us, we can relate to that. The thorn was given to present or to prevent Paul from being proud. It'd be a good idea if we'd realize that God put some things in our life to keep us from pride. It was given to prevent arrogance. A lot of arrogant people. It was given to prevent self-reliance. I mean, if anybody could have relied on their thing, it would have been the Apostle Paul. So this thorn was given to prevent him from that. There's a great verse, one of the greatest. Well, I say this about so many verses, I'm not going to say it, okay? But in John 15:5, we read these words. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then, for without me, you can't do much. Is that what your Bible says? If it does, you got a real bad translation. Amen. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. You know, we really never will understand that God is all we need until he is all we need. It was given to him to prevent self-righteousness. I mean, he said, I have kept the law. Jewish religion, he had done everything that was written in. But we read in Isaiah, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. So if you think you're good, okay, if you think you deserve heaven because you're good, okay, just think about the filthiest rag you can possibly think about, and that's what your righteousness is. No, we were not righteous. We were sinners. And our only hope of being saved was the grace of God. Think about the reasoning of Paul. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. In other words, Lord, without this thorn, I could do much more. That's a good reason. Without this thorn, I could be much stronger. That's a good reason. And by the way, by you removing this thorn, I could glorify you by telling others what you did. So he had some good reasons, amen. By the way, you remember Jesus in Gethsemane? three times he prayed, "Father, if it be possible," and I think he meant, "If it's possible to save mankind any other way, let this cup pass from me." And Paul prayed. And God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I think the more we realize how little and insufficient that we are, and the more that we depend on God, the more we can do. Let me take just a few minutes and tell you about a time in my life. In 1965, Virginia and I, and Renee and Tim, went to Japan as missionaries. We had a total of $500 a month support. Now, I know modern missionaries can't believe that, but I've got the statements to show it, okay? A child in kindergarten, a daughter in school, rent to pay, on and on and on. And I think about that. I couldn't understand anything anybody said. I'd give them a track, and I knew how to say, "Please read this, dozo yonikurasai." And then they'd begin jabbering, and I wouldn't have any idea what they were saying. So I couldn't speak Japanese. I didn't have anybody, you know, it was the very bottom. Totally, totally dependent upon God. And Brother Chapel, it was during that time that I believe I saw God working more than any time in my life. You think about it. We get the privilege of starting the Sydney Newtown Baptist Church. I mean, first year baptized 89 people. If the average church in Japan baptized 2 people a year, it'd be big. First anniversary, 139 people. 5 young men surrendered to preach. 3 young ladies surrendered to be Baptist preachers' wives. Okay. That's not what they said, but that's what they meant, okay? And we got to start a Bible college. When I'm weak, when I'm weak, then am I strong. So think, if you would, about the result of the thorn. The result was that Paul learned that God's grace was all that he needed. God's grace was all that he needed. "My grace is sufficient for thee." By the way, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're going through in the past or what you've gone. God's grace is sufficient. I called Trish McCoy, Brother David McCoy's wife, the other day, and I've known David and Trish since they were dating, okay? And I reminded her again that even though you're facing the most difficult thing in your life, that God's grace is sufficient. The book of Romans, it says, "Where sin did abound," and the word "abound" means to exist in abundance, "where sin did abound, grace did much more abound." Hey, would you agree with me tonight that there's plenty of sin? Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Where sin did exist in an abundance, grace existed in a super abundance. So he learned that God's grace was sufficient for anything. He manifested the fact that God deserved all the praise. "Lest I be exalted above measure." You remember Paul writing Corinthians chapter 3? "I planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. So don't give the glory to us. It is God. And by the way, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. He learned that all glory belonged to God. He realized that God uses his weakness. See, we think, man, if I was strong enough, if I was smart enough, if I was, then I could really, no. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 for just a minute, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I love this. Look at verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Let me go back to verse 26, okay? For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, I know a lot of preachers that say, well, there's not many of us, but there are some of us, okay? Why does God use people like that? God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, in other words, nothings, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You see, when God uses our weakness, then God is glorified. The result of the thorn. Let me give you three words. And I don't know what any of you are going through. I know all of us are going through something. The world is filled with hurting people. What are we going to do when we have a thorn in the flesh? Let me give you three things. We try to escape. If you go to the doctor and he says you have cancer, the first thing you pray, dear God, please remove it. We try to escape. Sometimes we endure. We grit our teeth and say, okay, it's coming, but I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to overcome it. So we tried the escape method. We tried the endurance method. But wouldn't it be great that regardless of what God brings into our life, that we would not try to escape or to endure, but to enlist that thing. In other words, God has allowed or God has given this thorn in the flesh, but I'm going to use it for the glory of God. And then Paul confesses, when I'm weak, in other words, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. And Hudson Taylor asked about his great accomplishment in China. His answer was, God finally found a man weak enough that he could use.